Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Cynthia Fontaine in Transforming Your Life. How are you today, wherever you are in the world? So often, we wake up and start our day, and however we wake up sets the tone for the whole day, or what we do in the first few minutes when we wake up. How do you start your morning? Are you thankful for your night's sleep, even if you didn't sleep as well as you would have liked to? And do you thank your bed and your pillows and your blankets in the morning? You know, because when we're so lucky here in the United States and in so many other countries around the world where we have beds to sleep on and blankets to cover us and pillows to make us even more comfortable, where there are literally millions of people around the world who don't have that luxury, though we don't think of that as a luxury anymore. We think of that as, you know, required or as the norm, which wouldn't that be wonderful if everyone in the world had that as their norm? Really think about that for a second. So often we get caught up in our day-to-day stuff, what's going on in our lives and our relationships, who said this about what, and you know, worries about maybe I'm going, you know, getting laid off or I've lost my job and all sorts of things that come up on a daily basis in life. But when we can be really grateful and thankful for everything that we have in our lives, you're going to see more of that in your life. So the law of attraction works like a big magnet. And whatever you are putting out into the universe vibrationally, so this goes much deeper than just saying mantras or positive statements and things like that. It has to come from the feeling within. You have to believe it. You know, Wayne Dyer used to say, when you believe it, you'll see it. So really take that in. When you believe it, you'll see it. And this can apply to everything in your life, including relationships, which is the, you know, our topic today. And this is, I'm just looking at my episode information here, and it's not just about relationships. It's about your how do you do things in your whole life? Because so often we are just halfway in, we'll say, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And I myself am guilty of this. Guilty as charged. I have been in many situations and relationships in my life where I'm half in and I'm half out. I know that. And those relationships are always very stressful. They're very tenuous. And the other person, even though you may not be verbalizing it, the other person in the relationship knows that you're half in and half out. They know that you're only showing up 50%. And so that's all that they can give you back is 50%. So I got a really great visual just before I came on the air. My guides flashed in front of my eyes. And that was, imagine yourself wherever you are listening right now. Imagine that all of a sudden your body were cut in half and half of your body was completely gone. Now, I'd like you to pay attention to which half of your body disappears, because half of your body represents the male and half of the body represents the female aspects. So this is going to be a curious experiment, and I'd love to hear from you guys about this. So message me later on Facebook, on my Facebook page, which is Cynthia Fontaine, the Rhode Island Psychic Medium, because I'd really love to sort of hear the results of this little experiment. So imagine your body is cut in half and the other half of your body just isn't there. It's invisible. Now get up, or imagine in your mind that you're getting up, and try to go get a cup of coffee. How's that working for you? How is that working for you? I love this visualization because it's so crystal clear. So when you only show up halfway in your life in anything, 50%, you're missing the whole other half of you, the whole other half of your energy, of your spirit, of your vibration, of you know, your enthusiasm, whatever it is, however you are in the world. So imagine now, look at a relationship that you're in right now. And this can be with a family member, it can be with a spouse or a significant other. So I'd like you to imagine this relationship right now and the person in front of you. And now ask your mind to show you, through the visualization of your body image, how much of you is showing up in this relationship. So maybe you see half of your body. Maybe you see a quarter of it. Maybe you're completely invisible in this relationship and you're not really showing up at all. And maybe you're three quarters, or maybe you're fully there. So when we show up in relationship, we are showing up as our true self. That's when we show up. When we show up in our defensive profiles, that's not showing up. And I really encourage you to get Rhys Thomas's book, Discover Your Life Purpose, because it's all about the profiles and the defenses that we take on. I know in my relationship, I can go into defense in a second, and it's the best training ground ever to recognize when you are doing that. And when you're in defense, you are not showing up in the relationship. So what do I mean about being in defense? Well, you all know when your prickly porcupine, quills are up, and you can sense when somebody else's porcupine quills are up as well. And that's when you're aggravated, when you're irritated, when you're snapping at your family or loved ones, spouses, whatever, children, coworkers. You know when your quills are up. You can shoot those things out like darts out of a blowgun in a second, right? You all can. I know, because I can do it too. Now, if you're an EIS, which is an emotional intelligence specialist, and you're just so soft about everything in your life, probably you might not be shooting the porcupine quills. But every other profile, except for a true EIS, shoots porcupine quills. They just do. It happens. You know, a team player will go into their own self. They'll hibernate. They'll want to just go live in the woods somewhere when they've had enough of people. And but a charismatic leader, they will take you down in a second. And a knowledgeable achiever can throw those porcupine quills just by standing there and saying nothing. Right? It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So how are you showing up? See, because whatever percentage you're showing up in is the percentage of energy that you have in your life. Because everything that we are for and everything that we're against all cuts our energy in half, and you only have 50% of your energy. The more things you're against and the more things you're for, because, you know, it's the yin and the yang, then, if you have a lot of things that you're against, I'm against guns, I'm against abortion, I'm against, and these are some pretty big topics here, you know. So it's not just like, I will never walk in the winter snow, right? So you're against that. When you can say, I choose not to be out walking in the winter snow because I don't like to be cold, that is a whole different energy around it, okay? Totally different energy. So this is what I really want you to think about and become conscious of. What are you for and what are you against? And, you know, don't get me wrong where if you have a cause that you're fighting for, and sometimes when you're fighting for a cause, it means you're against something else, that's a little bit different because a charismatic leader needs a cause to fight for. So it's the things that you're against in your daily life, okay? And drugs and the guns and, I don't know, the abortion probably might not be the exact perfect example in this case. So look at the daily things in your life. What are you for and what are you against, right? So, and what are your negative pleasures? Because we all have them. I have recently discovered that I have a huge negative pleasure about making assumptions. And I didn't even realize it. So I can make assumptions like nobody's business. And I'll give you a great example of this where I thought I had the facts on something earlier this week, and I think I talked about this, and it seemed pretty clear that about this situation and with the facts that I had. And as it turned out, it was not the case at all. They weren't really facts. They were sort of, let's just say, investigation ideas that were being investigated that were not followed through on. But I thought they had been followed through on based on the ideas that were showing up. And I got myself worked up into a frenzy like there is no tomorrow. I couldn't sleep. My heart was racing. I had all these things running through my head. And fortunately, I've been doing this work long enough where I was able to finally say to yourself, look, there's nothing you can do about this until the morning, unless you drive over to this person's house now to clear it up, and you're not going to do that. And what if there's a slight possibility that even though it appears that you have evidence that this situation has happened, what if it's not true? Stop for a moment. After going, my head was in a spin for 15 or 20 minutes at least. But that was enough for me to stop for a moment and say, you know what? That's right. I can't do anything about it now because I'm not going to get up in the middle of the night and drive over there and try to clear this assumption up with this person. And I'm only losing valuable sleep, and I'm creating more stress hormones in my body. And when you create stress hormones in your body, guess what? You tend to gain weight or keep weight on. Yes, weight oftentimes has very little to do with exercise and what you're putting in your mouth, although I am not, you know, by any means saying go out and binge on and have a 30,000 calorie day or stop your exercise program, because I think exercise and moving the body is a fabulous way to keep it healthy. Even if in your mind you're sitting in your exercise room, or you're sitting in your living room on the couch and you visualize yourself running on the treadmill, you visualize yourself doing this great workout if you can't physically do it. Even because the mind doesn't know the difference between what is reality and what is non-reality, right? So you can convince your mind that you are working out. It's a pretty amazing thing. And when that happens, guess what? Your body starts to feel better, and you can even get into shape. It's a crazy thing, but there's been all kinds of research about this. And so check it out. So if you're someone who can't physically exercise, exercise in your mind. See yourself as fit and healthy, and you'll become more aligned with that energy, and have more opportunity. Even in your mind will be more healthy. So I took this opportunity to put my own work into action. And I said, you know, I can't do anything about this right now. It may or may not be true. And then if it's true, you know, I'm not sure what I'll do about this because it would impact me personally. But all I can do is wait until I can see the person the next day. And that wasn't until later in the day. So I went all morning until the afternoon of seeing this person and then being able to, check in with them. And normally I would have gone in and I would have been, you know, pissed. I would have been a hothead. I would have been like, oh my God, what were you thinking? And instead, and I did have a little edginess, but instead I went in on a different approach, and it felt so much better, and it still feels better today, where I said, I gave the person the opportunity to you know, say yay or nay. Yes, I did this. No, I did not do this. And so once that was cleared up, it really made me realize how I can so easily jump into that negative pleasure of making assumptions. And that will get you into trouble every time. And this has been coming up over and over and over again for me, particularly in this last week, where the universe is giving me opportunities and is showing me how I can go into assumptions so quickly. I did it again yesterday, but fortunately, I was able to recognize it really quickly and turn it around. You know, the Don Miguel Ruiz's work, The Four Agreements, is brilliant, really, really brilliant work. So if you have not read the book, I highly encourage you to do so. And even take it a step further. I like to have my clients take one agreement at a time and work on one agreement for a period of time. And then when you feel like you really sort of are working with it, you're maybe understanding a little bit, go to the next agreement. If we can all just stop making assumptions, just working with that one agreement, then your life will change. The other agreement is don't take anything personally. If you can use those two, only use those two in your life, oh my goodness, you just release so much stress and so much aggravation out of your life, you're going to get back energy. See, because what happens is when we go into these defenses, when we go into making assumptions, when we take things personally, when we have things that we're for and we're against, then that takes away energy from your energy body and from your physical body as well. So how, or maybe you come home from work and you're tired, maybe you make dinner for the family or yourself, or maybe you just put your pajamas on, get a can of soup, and go to bed. I know people who do that because they have no energy, because they struggle being their authentic self. They don't know what their authentic self looks like. They don't know how to show up in their lives 100% with really, I know some people that don't know how to show up 100% with anything in their lives. So how about you? How about you? I'm just checking the chat room, saying hey to people in the chat room. So if you are in the chat room, you have any questions, you can feel free to post them. So just give me a couple of minutes because I have to scan back and forth between my studio board and the chat room. So I'm not in the chat room the whole time I'm on the air. And while I'm talking about being on the air, I'd like to let you know where to find me when I am off the air. And that's really easy. My website, and that is cynthiafontaine.com, cynthiafontaine.com. And there's a whole bunch of social media links on there. And you can sign up, subscribe to my newsletter. And also, you can book appointments with me directly through my website. One-stop, easy shopping. And also, there's a link on there to my line of all-natural bath and body products, Alchemy of the Earth, which I highly recommend, not because it's my line, but because I know the products are very high quality, and I have customers who have been using them for a number of years now, and I get new customers all the time, but they just rave about the products. There is not a product on there that I have ever had a complaint about, and I hope to keep it that way always and forever. So check it out. And if you're intuitive or empathic or psychic, there are some great products in there for you that can help you sort of clear your energy field, because we pick up psychic lint from just being with other people all the time. And the bath salt, the Himalayan bath salt, which is not treated with radiation and it is not bleached, so it's 100% pure from the Himalayan mountains. No funny stuff with it, because there's a lot of Himalayan salts out there that are treated with radiation and are treated with bleach. And do you want to be soaking in a bathtub full of radiation? I know I don't. And my positive energy spray is specially formulated to put negative ions into the room and to clear out the positive ions, which you would think, why do you want that? You want positive. Well, in this case, when you're talking about ions, you actually don't want the positive ion charge. You want the negative ion charge in your house and in your workplace and in your energy field, because the positive ions cling to us, like positive and negative attract, or opposites attract, and scientifically. And so these positive ions glom onto us and they clog up our energy field. And, you know, it can be from EMFs, it can be from other people, all kinds of things. So it's like if you have ever been to the ocean for the day, and then you come home and you feel totally recharged, that's because the ocean is charged with negative ions. And so the positive energy spray is formulated in that way as well. And it has pure essential oils in it, a special blend that is also meant to clear your energy field. So check that out for sure, because they are really fabulous products. The body butter, if you have any skin issues, the body butter works like magic. So, okay, that's my spiel on that, because I often forget, and then the show is over, and I forget to say, you know, how to find me when I'm not here. So like my public Facebook page, sign up for my newsletter, although I'm more active on Facebook than I am with the newsletter. I'm trying to get more disciplined at that, and that is part of what this 30-day challenge is about, making a commitment and being disciplined to follow through on the commitment. See, because even something like this 30-day challenge is really an opportunity for me to show up 100%. I could choose to skip shows. I could choose to say, you know what, I'm not doing this 30-day challenge. This is stupid. And this challenge comes from the Reese Thomas Institute of Energy Medicine, where I am a second-year student, just about finishing my second year and wrapping up going into the last year. And this challenge has really brought a lot of opportunities for me to see myself in a different way, to see that I can show up and I can be committed to something that is not a fight, because I am a charismatic leader. And if I've got something, a cause to charge into, I'm happy to do that. I love that. And I, you know, especially if there's other people involved, because I'm a team player, set my secondary profile as a team player. Get Reese's book, because when you listen to my show, you'll really understand what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the profiles and the secondary profile and the defensive profiles. So get the book. It's really inexpensive, and it's a great thing. And if you don't like to read, get it on Audible through Amazon. I do a lot of books on Audible like that. So get the book and check out, do Don Miguel Ruiz's The Four Agreements. Those two places are really great. And if you're already into this self-development and figuring out who the heck you are and all that self-improvement, there's still really fabulous tools, because I have been in the field of self-development and self-help now for over 20 years, and I continually learn new things, because as everyone evolves, there's always going to be new and fabulous things to learn that can help us in our lives. And so those are two things that I have come across. And I know the Four Agreements have been around for a long time. And I actually had the book. I've read the book. And it wasn't until we really got into it, deep dove into it in school last year, where I really sunk my teeth into it and started to understand what it means to make assumptions and how often I do it. See, because we think that the other people in our lives are the problem. And I am here to tell you that that is not correct. You heard me. That is right. The people in your life are not the problem. We are the problem in our own lives. We are the problem in our own lives. So if you're not showing up in your relationships, if you're not showing up in your work life, if you're not showing up when you do the dishes, then that's how you are living your life. And you are not showing up for you in your life, because you are the most important person that there is in this universe. And when you show up for you 100%, the other people around you have now have the opportunity to step in to being their true selves and show up 100%. You know, I just saw a video from Tony Robbins yesterday about relationships. And he, you know, says, what does it take to make a relationship work? So when you first get into a new relationship, you know, everything's all fuzzy and you go above and beyond and you do, you know, lots of things that your partner might want, the person that you're seeing might want. And then what happens after a while? 6 months, you know, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. You get tired, right? You get tired of not because you're doing things for this other person, but because you're doing them out of defense. You're doing them out of trying to make a good impression. You're doing these things because you care about the person. But oftentimes what happens is we're doing things that we normally maybe would not do if this weren't a new relationship, okay? And so we get resentful. Then next thing you know, the porcupine quills are flying. And they start small. So maybe you've got the little tiny quills from, you know, maybe the nape of the neck where the porcupine quills are shorter. So maybe a few of those get shot out at first. And you know what I'm talking about. It can be a snide comment you know, just the way you look at somebody, right? Or you can be talking under your breath. And then those quills, the bigger ones, start to come out, right? And then maybe you're arguing. Maybe you're putting the other person down. Maybe you're calling them names. Maybe you're not coming home or you're sleeping on the couch. That's when the big quills are out and they're fired on full blast, right? And you say to yourself, how could this relationship have gone from being so wonderful in the beginning to where it's at now? You know, the rate of divorce in the U.S. is over 50% for first marriages and 70% for second marriages. So what if there's a possibility that you could show up in a way in your life and in your relationships that could turn things around? Could turn your life around. What if? It's possible. And, you know, please understand that there are some relationships that do not serve you. Maybe they seem to serve you in the beginning, but they do not serve you any longer. And sometimes it's best to to step away from those relationships. I encourage you, however, though, to take, before you do that, really take a deep self-evaluation and look at yourself and what makes you tick. What is the operating system installed in your computer? Are you still running Windows 95 or XP? Or are you up to date running Windows 10 point whatever it is? Okay, because we're like a computer where our software gets out of date. And the software comes from the vows or the goblins that we have been created in our lives from sometimes before we were born, so in utero, right up through about age 12. And the vows are based on something that you become for or against. I am never going to be like my mother because she was mean. I am never going to be like my father because he abandoned us. I am always going to be like my grandmother because she was wonderful and she did everything for my grandfather. So those are some examples of being for and being against. So even though it seems like being for something, I'm always going to be wonderful, like I'm always going to be loving, I'm always going to be kind, like so-and-so. Even though our mind, our ego mind, which is our big struggle in that runs the show, who should not be running the show, but it is, until you really get into understanding yourself, quieting that ego mind. So when you think, oh, well, how could that be bad if I'm always loving like so-and-so? Well, because sometimes there are times in your life when it's important for you not to be loving. There are times in your life when the best thing you can do is to stand up for yourself. And sometimes you have to do that, and it seems like it's not loving. So we have this false idea that we have to be loving all the time. We can never get angry. Oh, no, I'll never get angry like my father did. No. But yet there's this anger raging inside of you, and you keep it in. Now, I am not suggesting that you go out and unleash that anger on people. But if you have an anger that's built up inside of you that you've been keeping caged for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, that is going to come out at some point in one way or another. If it doesn't come out, as verbal or physical anger towards other people, it's going to come out in your body. So your body will get ill, right? So anger gets stored in the liver. And maybe you have liver problems because every organ and every part in our body has a energetic or emotional connection. So if you're holding on to anger, it's going to come out one way or another. It's going to come out sideways out of you. It's going to come out in those comments that, you may regret later. And when those comments start piling up in relationships, you know what happens. That's why the divorce rate is 50%. And, there are some couples who just, no matter what, maybe they weren't, they're really not compatible. And compatibility is really an important thing because oftentimes we get involved in relationships where we're really not that compatible. Maybe you're 50% compatible. Maybe you like to go out dancing, but your partner doesn't. Maybe you like to be outdoors, taking long walks and hikes, and your partner doesn't. And you might think that that's okay at first, but you have to really evaluate and take a deep look at how that's going to impact you long term. Because if those are things that you want to do with your partner or spouse, and they don't want to do it, they're going to get resentful if you nag about it, or if they make, if you make them do it, or if they do it because they're people pleasing, and then the anger is going to come out sideways, the resentment and so forth. So really look at how compatible are you. And that, you know, friends are a great thing because we don't expect our friends to be 100% compatible with us, because, you know, they, you don't typically live with them, and maybe you do, but they're your friends. They're not your partner or your spouse. And so there's a little more flexibility or leeway or sort of forgiveness there with your friends who you're not compatible with. So maybe you have some friends who like to go to dance and you go to dance with them. And maybe you have other friends who like to hike and you hike with them. And you're perfectly okay with that. But oftentimes we expect our partners or spouses to want to do everything that we want to do. Not always, but oftentimes. And maybe your partner or spouse is somebody who likes alone time and you don't. You want more one-on-one time with them. So really take a look at what each of you like and how compatible are you. And a really good book is by Dr. Barbara DeAngelis, and it's called Are You the One for Me? And it, she has a really great exercises in there that you can evaluate your relationships. And it's great if you're not in a relationship to read it, and then you'll know, you know, sort of what to look like, look at, and start asking, well, how compatible am I with this person? And you, it's important to figure out, you know, what you truly want in a relationship. And so I'm not gonna, I don't want to go on too much about that because that could be a whole show. That could be several shows, actually, I think. And, you know, I'm looking at the clock here, and it's funny because I know there have been several shows where I've gotten on the air like 2 or 3 minutes late. And the reason for that, I just realized today, is that my cell phone, which is a, you know, brand new iPhone 6S, the clock is 3 minutes slow on my iPhone, which is so bizarre because it's all connected, you know, to the satellites and everything. And it should be the same time as the computer. But for some reason, it's not. It's the craziest thing. And like I said, I just noticed that this morning because, you know, I had the studio up and running and it said 3 minutes to showtime and then 2 minutes and then one show, your show is beginning in 5 seconds. And I happened to look at the screen on my iPhone, and it said 11:56, and the computer in Blog Talk Radio said 11 o'clock. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting and kind of weird that my phone would be, it was actually 4 minutes behind, that my phone would be 4 minutes behind. Strange. So now I have to make a point to know that my phone time is behind and that I need to be on the air a couple of minutes earlier than what, you know, my my phone says. And that is showing up 100%, right? I didn't realize that until this morning. So there were some days, like I said, where I showed up a couple of minutes late. Out of my control in a way. However, if I had been present and paying attention and had the studio loaded, logged in, and was listening, I would have heard the 2 minute, the 3 minute warning, the 2 minute warning, and so forth. So that's a great, another great example of showing up. How are you showing up? For me, it's been a struggle. It's actually wasn't a struggle in my life. I had a habit of not showing up on time for anything. I was late for work every single day for 26 years. I worked for the government, and they tried everything to get me to work on time. There was a period of time, I think, towards the beginning of my career where I actually was on time, and I would stand in line at the time clock with everyone else. And then that got to a point where And I think really it was when I became a single mom, because I was juggling little kids around. Well, my youngest at the time was 3. My oldest was 12. So my oldest was bigger. But still, you know what it's like sometimes to get a 12-year-old out the door at 6 o'clock in the morning? If you never have done it, it is not an easy challenge, especially if you have a charismatic leader, team player child like I do. So once I became a single mom, I was chronically late. And it became kind of a joke. You know, they would lock the time cards up on me. They wouldn't let me punch in, all kinds of crazy things. And they finally just eventually give up because, you know, I would show up every day, but I might be 2 minutes late or 5 minutes late. I think the most I was ever late was like maybe 7 minutes. So I was always there, and that's what I would say to them. You know I'm going to be here. I'm just running, you know, if I'm a few minutes late, what's the big deal? So I'm just realizing now, and this clock issue has really made me realize that I lived many, many years like that. And so it wasn't just for work being late. It was being work late to meet friends. It was being late for lots of things. And it's really only in this last year that I have really become to be aware and notice. And one of my things is I always think I have more time than I do to get to places. And I don't like to waste time. I like to utilize as much time as I can because, you know, we have only so many minutes in this life. And so I would say, oh, I can do one more thing before I leave. Oh, I can wipe that counter down. Oh, I can quickly sew this hole in this pair of jeans. Whatever. Okay. Whatever it is. So I could always do one more thing before I walked out the door. And then I would walk out the door and I'd be oftentimes 5 minutes later than I wanted to leave or should have left. And then I would ultimately end up being late to wherever I got to. And, you know, all my friends knew this and they all tolerated it. But it really became blatantly aware to me how painful it is to wait for people like that. And it became so blatantly aware because my boyfriend is the worst offender, far worse than I could ever be. And that is not a judgment. That is a total observation. So if I say dinner is at 7, he might show up by 7:40 or 8 o'clock. And it got to the point where I decided that if he was coming to my house for dinner, that I wasn't waiting for him anymore, that I was just going to go ahead with dinner, and that whenever he came in, he could have dinner if he chose. And that's worked out really well, you know, because he knows now that I'm going to go ahead with dinner, and I'm not waiting 40 minutes or an hour for him to show up. And, you know, I mean, I was never that bad. I was always 5, 10, 15 minutes, but, you know, 15 minutes was a stretch. But, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, you know, was kind of the norm, especially 5 minutes. But that has been so accentuated because of the how late he is. And it's interesting because if we're going somewhere that's important to him, if I'm 2 minutes late, oh my God, he has a cow, right? But it's okay for him to be 40 minutes or an hour late if, you know, it's something that's not that important. So in a sense, you know, it ties into showing up. Is he showing up? No, he's not showing up. He's showing up half-ass, as they say, right? He's showing up when he wants to show up. So where are you doing that in your life? And because if you're doing that, then there are other places in your life where you are only showing up half-ass too. Because however you are in your relationship is how you show up in your life. And so, you know, maybe I was 80 or 90% in my relationship because I would show up that few minutes late. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a disrespectful thing. It was just really because I always felt like I could get one more thing done. And being on the show for this 30-day challenge has really shown me, along with the other things that have come up in my life around this, that when you make a commitment, it's really a nice thing to follow through and be there when you say you're going to be there. Do what you say you're going to do. This can be a real problem in relationships because you might be saying, oh, yes, I'll pick you up at the airport at 1:30 in the morning to your spouse, when you really are thinking, I want to be sleeping at 1:30 in the morning. I have to get up with the kids or get up for work or, you know, whatever. But yet you don't verbalize that. You pick them up, you get resentful, right? And that's kind of a, you know, how many people are picking their spouses up at 1:30 in the morning all the time. It may be that you're constantly picking your spouse's clothes up off the floor, right? Because they're being stubborn and won't put them in the hamper. And you get resentful for doing it. And I'm not saying you don't have a right to be upset about them putting their clothes on the floor all the time. But what happens is you approach your spouse in defense because you're picking the clothes up again. And so you might make some comment, you might yell at them, you might be, why don't you pick your clothes up? I'm sick of it, whatever. Okay. As it builds up. When it may be more reasonable to go to them early on and say, honey, I'd really appreciate it if you put your clothes in the hamper or put them in the wash or whatever. And sometimes that simple little way of asking works. Sometimes it doesn't. And that's where you go to the book, Are You the One for Me? I really, you know, figure that out. I use the laundry example from my own experience with my ex-husband. He was so defiant and just, he would not put the clothes in the hamper, no matter which way, shape, or form. I don't know how to shut that off. So I have an iPhone and I've got it on silent. But for some reason, if somebody calls, it rings into my computer. And I totally don't understand why it does that. I'm not that techie, although my daughter has been laughing the last week or two because I was actually doing tech support for a classmate, teaching her on the phone how to download our class files to her her Apple computer. And so my daughter was laughing hysterically in the background, because of course me 5 years ago when I first got the computer, I knew nothing about how to work this computer. And this is actually a newer version of the original one that I got, because I spilled coffee on the other one last year or 2 years ago now. And you know what happens when you spill coffee on your laptop? It's no longer a laptop. It's now a piece of decoration. So I had to get a new computer. And but she's laughing because she's like, oh, my God, I can't believe that you are giving tech support. So you can teach an old dog new tricks. Don't let that wives' tale fool you. Now, if you're thinking that somebody can never change their ways, they can't learn a new way of being, if you're struggling with that yourself, throw that old paradigm and that old wives' tale right out the window, because it is nonsense. You can teach an old dog new tricks. you can learn about yourself and what makes you tick. You can learn a new way of being and living your life and living a more fuller, happier life. I totally promise you that this is absolutely possible. It has happened for me. And the most challenging things in your life, the most challenging relationships, are there for you to give you an opportunity to take a look at yourself. Because when you look at yourself and you become the person who you truly, authentically are and want to be, your relationships around you will improve. And that is basically what Tony Robbins said in that video that I had mentioned earlier, was that when you take care of you first, your relationships fall into place. We make the mistake when we first get into relationships of doing everything for the other person. And then what happens after a period of time is we get burnt out and we get resentful. So do things for that other person because you want to. Make it a conscious choice of doing it. Okay? Make it a conscious choice. You can turn your life around and you can turn the relationship around. Take that energy of making a choice, whether it's yes or no, because no is a good answer too. No, you know, somebody asks you to, even one of your kids ask you to drive them to the mall at 7 o'clock on Thursday night. And you've got work to do, you've got the kitchen, whatever, okay? No is a good answer, but make it no and make sure that you don't feel guilty about it. Just make it no. That's one thing I teach, especially to women who see me. Women have a really hard time saying no and saying it from a place of love. No, 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 no. Practice saying no. Start off small. And then you'll have build up the muscle to say no to the bigger things, right? Don't say no just to say no, but say no because it's really what you mean. You don't want to drive your kid to the mall at 7 o'clock on Thursday night. Okay? We often do things because it's easier than dealing with the fallout, right? But when you're in your core and you come from the genuine place inside, there'll be less fallout because you can't be moved. You don't take it personally. And you can't be moved out of your core. All right, we are out of time. I want to thank you so much for tuning in and for being with me during this 30-day challenge. And I love you all so very much. Remember, go on to my website, cynthiafontaine.com, CynthiaFontaine. Like my public page, Cynthia Fontaine, the Intuitive Medium, the Rhode Island Psychic Medium on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter, sign up for my newsletter, and book a session with me. I'd love to work with you. I love you all. Have a fabulous day.
Knee deep in the water somewhere, got the blue sky. And where else is I gonna reach my chair? I'm just not gonna reach my chance.